I remember it was 2017, and I had flown across the country by myself to San Diego to attend the first mastermind event, you know, that I was a student in. And I didn't know what I was getting into. Obviously, the first time you go, you never really understand exactly what you're getting yourself into. And I showed up Saturday. We start to get in there and learn, and I meet some people, and I learned something new about marketing. And then I had lunch and dinner with business owners in the rehab, in the physical therapy, chiropractic space. And Sunday, we get up and do it again. And the weekend's building. And like at every level, I kept thinking to myself, you know what? I think I found my people. I think I found where I need to be. And for some of you out there, if you had the experience like I've had, you get your business going and it feels super lonely because all of a sudden you're a business owner, you're in healthcare, you might not be taking insurance, you might be dealing with situations and objections and money problems and all of these things that your peers, your parents, your spouse, your friends, that have, they've never dealt with before. And it gets really, really lonely. And I remember being in San Diego and I ran back into my room after Sunday because I was leaving Monday morning and I called Del, my girlfriend at the time, and I said to her, because I was away for the weekend and it was expensive, and I said, you know, I went to this event and I really enjoyed it, and you know, they're having another one coming up in Florida in a few months, and I don't know if I should go, but I really think, and she stopped me and she goes, you should definitely go. And I literally remember where I was sitting on the bed at the time in the hotel. I remember being in San Diego. I remember that moment. And the moment, for so many reasons, the first one was, wow, I met someone that I probably should stick with because she's actually supporting me and encouraging me to do the things that I just needed the permission to do. But more than that, and even most importantly, she recognized that I had been somewhere and around others that were going to help propel me forward to reach my goals. And that was 2017. And 6-7 years later, as we now put on these live events, it's one of the most gratifying and fulfilling times that I have in my life because I know that when people show up to these events, there's a chance that maybe one person would have that same experience, that revelation, to know that they found their people, to know that there are people out there that there to support them, that understand them, that have been where they're trying to get to, that have gone where they want to go. I've met some of my best friends at these live events. I've learned so much about myself in the process. I've learned what to do. I've learned what not to do. I've learned that it takes sacrifice. I've learned that there are better ways to do things. I've learned that my mindset matters. I've learned that business is different than playing sports. Sports, you have a season, right? Football starts in August and ends in February. Business goes on forever. And if you lose motivation, you feel like you're on that treadmill, it gets exhausting. These live events are able to reinvigorate you, re-energize you, give you some energy, find people that you're in touch with so that you can go back to your practice for the next 4 months, like shot out of a cannon, which is why we put them on. They're not cheap. We literally have to budget them into our business so that we can put them on and make them world-class. So for each and every one of you, I hope if you're listening and you're on the fence about attending our events and our live events, that you give yourself a chance. So if you go into the show notes, there's a link in there. So you're going to click for a guest pass. Please, I know you're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to meet a lot of people. And if you just get one thing out of it, it's worth it. It's worth it for you. I hope to see you there.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Business School for the Rehab Chiropractor. Class is officially in session. My name is Justin Rabinowitz, and I am a rehab chiropractor on a mission to teach you, a fellow rehab chiropractor, the exact tools and systems I've used to build my own successful rehab chiropractic practice so you can do the same. I hope you enjoy, and please subscribe.
Molly, why don't you give us your biggest mindset shift from before starting ChiroBiz 101 and Mastermind until now?
It's tough to pick one, I think, but the biggest one has been how to view the business from above, because before it was very much me working in the business, just being a chiropractor. So I view it as like me being here in this business, in this building, but now I'm almost like looking down on the building, watching the business run. and seeing what pieces need to happen when. And that's a view I've always wanted and didn't quite know how to get. So I think that's my biggest mindset shift, is no longer being in it, just watching it. Well, I'm still in it, but being able to watch it from above and view it as a bigger picture too, and see that there's a bigger picture that it can go into as well.
Love that. Max, what about you?
My biggest mindset change probably is along the lines of, it kind of changed my ability to set limits. It changed to the point where I no longer can set limits on myself, because anything is possible. Meaning allows us the mindset to think bigger. And so along those lines, with the ability to think bigger, things happen a lot faster. And so being able to react and be more proactive with those decisions can lead to a lot faster change than I ever thought was imaginable.
I love that. And so just for the audience, give us a reference before you started the program to now, roughly monthly revenue from before till roughly now.
So before the program, we were grinding and making around between $8,000 and $12,000 a month of total revenue. And since it was about 2 months into the program, we started about two, 3 months in the program, we started doing about between 25 to 35 per month.
So amazing. I love that so much. I mean, so just so the audience knows how quickly it can change. And then as you sort of said that, and all the credit goes to you guys for implementing, but I want to go back to the famous or the infamous time when we got on a call and by the end of it, Max almost vomited because he was so nervous. Max, take us through, like, you know, obviously it's a big decision like all of us make to invest in yourself and a lot of money when you're not making a ton. Walk us through that decision and like the nerves that are going through it. Cause I know there's people in the audience that are so scared of not just taking the business course, but doing other things in business and how you, the mindset and why you decided to do that.
Well, at the time it was insane. And so partly because I didn't understand how money worked, because we didn't have very much. And so like that initial investment with what we made, like it was close to 3/4 of the amount we made the month prior, which I'm like, this is insane. However, like what resonated with me with help, which helped the decision, was like other people have done it. And so if we just trust the process, something good is going to happen. We just did not nearly expect it to happen so quick. And so it wasn't one of those decisions off the bat where I got that dopamine hit of like, oh, like, let's go. Like, this is unbelievable. Like, game on. It was like, what the hell did we just do? Mm-hmm. And so in the coming weeks, what you said was you just have to trust what we're doing and something good is going to happen. And so we just did. We tried it our way and numerous other ways for quite a while. I mean, I was about two years and change into practice. And so like, let's just try something different and see what happens. At the worst case scenario, it's something we've tried. And if it doesn't work, no big deal. We can always go back to what we were doing before. But it totally changed our whole perspective on business, on money, on mindset, on patient care, on almost everything that we were doing up to this point.
I love that. And Molly, I want to go to you because you shared with me when we first started the idea that, you know, you guys are working together in the practice, but there was almost two separate avatars and niches. And it was almost like when I described it, it was like you guys are in the same business, but have two separate businesses. And why don't you walk the audience through that decision of what you were doing before and maybe how you refocused? And the reason why I say that is because I think one of the things I run into a lot with like new business owners, and you know this because I brought you into those conversations, is everyone in the beginning wants to try and attract everyone and be all things to all people. And you guys sort of tried that and made a very intentional switch to go after one. So walk the audience through what you were doing before and then the change and what that's done for the business.
Yeah. So before, I personally very much love treating athletes, soccer players, hockey, golf, rotational athletes. But I truly, truly love treating postpartum pregnancy pediatric patients. That's just a blast for me. So that's who I was marketing to, because I just really enjoyed it. And that's a niche that I kind of just fell into and didn't really expect myself to enjoy. And then Max, he prefers the rotational athletes. He prefers the golfers, the hockey players, those types of patients. So he was marketing towards them. It didn't make sense, because when we market to these people, there would be one marketing message that went to a golfer, and then there would be one marketing message that went to a pregnant patient. A big light bulb that went off to me was my 16-year-old patient came in and she said, you know, the oddest thing happened to me. I was like, what happened? She's like, I received an email from you about a pregnant patient. And I was like, and she just died laughing, thought it was the most hilarious thing that she got an email about a pregnant patient. And I was like, yeah, that's just our general marketing email that we send out. And she's like, oh, it just didn't really make sense, because a lot of what you do is for active individuals. And she's a very smart 16-year-old. And I was like, wow, true, like very, very true. And we just kept trudging and doing our own things, because everyone kept telling us, as many people as you can reach, the better. As many people as you can reach, the better. It just continued not to make sense. And it was getting extremely frustrating and confusing. And so then when we talked to you, one of the biggest pieces of advice you gave us very early on was to pick one direction and go in it, so that when we market and when we have an Instagram post or an email or an event, it makes sense for the one business to do the same thing. And so that's when we kind of niche down into the pretty much golfers at this point, rotational athletes, golfers. And since then, it's made the world of difference, because when I go out and I market, it's the same message that he's going out and marketing. So when we come together, it's not, oh, am I seeing Molly's side of the practice or am I seeing Max's side of the practice? It's, this is Fortitude Performance Chiropractic, and this is exactly what we do. And this is the place for you if you were a golfer, essentially.
Yeah, I love that. And Molly, I want to come back to you, because I know you're kind of have your head in the marketing with the business. You know, I think the fact that you guys went from how quickly it grew, and Max, this brings me back to when you said, I finally have a real business. And I said, you truly had a business before. We just made some very small changes, because it's impossible that your numbers can go there if you guys already weren't doing a lot of really, really good things. It just needed a couple different tweaks. And so I honestly don't even know this answer, and I'm starting to learn more, but the way that you guys have grown so quickly tells me that you guys did a lot for the first 2.5 years really, really well. And again, just a couple tweaks that have made the difference. So Molly, why don't you take us back to, you guys opened this practice, and I don't think either of you are from Arizona yet, right? Or no. From the area. So it's a new area. Walk the audience through, what were the things that you did early on to establish your name in the community and your practice, to be in a position where you can make an incredible business in such a short period of time?
What I did was I just went out and met professionals that I thought were great people for my patients to also connect with. Those were the people that I went out and met first. So, and I think if you're open to it, Max could answer this question too, because he's done a great job at it. But I just found, so we talked about the naturopath the other day on the call. Many of my patients want a naturopath, and they want that route, and they want to take that primary care route because it suits them better with how they view healthcare. So I sought out all of the naturopaths in Scottsdale, and I asked if I could have coffee with them. I think the two that actually replied and were open to doing that are two of them I still talk to all of the time. I then went to personal trainers. I then went to gym owners. I have reached out to, so at the time when I was doing the pregnancy postpartum stuff, I've met a lot of doulas, midwives, birthing centers, lactation consultants, occupational therapists, and other healthcare providers that don't do what I do, so that when I explain to them what I do and they don't do it and they have a patient who needs it, hopefully I would be one of the first people that they think of. So that's how I did it. And I got this advice from Max, because he was successful at it, is staying in contact about every 2 to 4 weeks on average. And so that looks like, hey, this podcast made me think of you. Because most of the people I connect with and stay connected with, we're very like-minded. And so I send podcasts to them that I think are great. I see an article or an Instagram post that I think is awesome, and I send it to them. They post on their story and ask a question about something. I answer the question and I interact with their Instagram. I And I genuinely like their content and I like what they do. So I promote it. I share their stuff. I shoot them a text and say, hey, you want to get coffee? And that's, although I feel like people think that's the slow way to do it, it's truly been the most genuine way I have found to find great referral partners in the Valley.
I love it. Max, give us some insight. It sounds like you do this as well, or maybe even taught Molly a little bit about it, but how have you made these relationships and then been able to actually continue them until they produce or just genuine relationships in the community?
So a mentor of mine off the bat told me to get to know purchase influencers. And so
I never heard that term before.
When we moved to Arizona, we graduated and literally knew nobody and didn't know anything. Like I couldn't even spell the word business if you asked me how to spell it. So, which is a tough problem to start a practice off the bat. And so what I did was I started playing a lot of hockey. I joked that I retired first because I had no patience, but I played a ton of hockey and a ton of golf for probably like 6 months to try and get to know as many people in the golf and hockey world as possible. Along the way, back to the purchase influencers, are basically people that have influence over other people, right? We've talked about it all the time, the gym owners, the trainers, the golf coaches, and people along those lines that have access to people that I'm interested in or passions of mine to treat. And so I had a lot of people that just disregarded me off the bat of me just going and reaching out to them, cold calling them, showing up. But it wasn't until maybe it was about 6 months or even almost closer to a year where I finally started developing relationships with a couple of very key, now very close friends of mine that own other gyms in the golf and hockey world that first off, trust me is the big thing. I think that's the biggest thing that I can portray is that it takes patience. It wasn't me, hey, send me all your people. It was, hey, what do you guys do? I'd love to learn from you. How can I help you? And then it wasn't the first time, it wasn't the second, it wasn't even the fifth time of, oh, like, what do you do? Like, can I come see you? It was down the road eventually, oh, like, you know, my back hurts or I have an Achilles issue. It was actually one of the first things. And they're like, oh, like you do something different. Like you're not a normal chiropractor. And so that was able to open up their brain and see that we're capable of more. And then from there, they send me one person. I do my absolute best to help them. And then from there, it kind of just snowballed and has taken off over the last, about 2 years after that.
I never heard that term purchase influencers. It's a nice term that I appreciate you sharing for sure. The takeaway I have from both of you guys that I believe most people don't, in our profession specifically, whether it's the marketing or the sales or opportunities that you guys did, is the appreciation of the level of volume, right? Like Molly, you're listing this and 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 this. And Max, you're saying I had all these trainers and most of them blew me up, but there was a few. And so the understanding that like I got to cast a wide net in the beginning, even if I'm specific in the area I'm going, I got to get to a lot because most are going to blow me off, ignore me, say no, whatever. But if I get two or three, right, if I get 30 and four, right, that's the game. And I think for me as a, you know, I think in healthcare, we've always lived in a world where we get referrals. So it's like, I get a referral, they become a patient. It's like one-to-one. But if we were in like a normal business, like a sales role, just like how many people can I talk to? Hundreds and hundreds of people. I mean, I literally, back in the day, this is like, I was when I first graduated school, 2012, I worked in an area like near Wall Street. So we had a lot of those types. And this guy was in his 40s already. So he was talking about probably early 2000s, maybe even late 90s, that he was a financial advisor. And I was like, how did you build your business? And he's like, dude, we would literally get pizza and beer. And every night we would open the phone book and just start calling people. Like that's literally every night, just boom, 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 boom. Just the volume of people that we would call to just, you know, 100 people would hang up and one person might even take a call. So I think the level of volume that most people really think is necessary to build the business, it sounds like you guys just sort of understood that and then were okay with getting the no's. I don't even know who wants to take this question, but neither of you are from there. You go to school in Oregon, you move to a place and you just decided to open up a practice. Will, like what the, how did, who had the crazy idea to do that?
You can take this one.
Yeah, it wasn't the plan. I begged people for a job. So basically the backstory is we moved here during COVID of 2020, which was not a great time to start a practice. And so she got a very cool opportunity at first to learn the ropes in kind of a quote unquote residency, right? And an associateship, which ended up being 2 years. So extremely valuable off the bat for her. And then for me, I wanted the exact same thing. Just go learn the ropes for a couple of years, learn how to treat people, learn how to get really good at treating people to begin with, and then learn everything else along the way. I literally reached out, talked to, asked, begged about 30 different places around the valley here for a job. And it came down to me thinking of, well, I might have to go back to Canada at this point because like literally nobody's hiring. I could work at the joint, but that wasn't for me. And so I interviewed there actually. I'm just like, this is my last resort. I've got no other options. It's this, Canada or bust. And so again, talk to my mentor, a very close friend of mine. He's like, you're not going to the joint. And so from there on, I took the jump. I met along the way playing hockey, like I just mentioned before, met a buddy of mine whose wife trains at a gym, a small personal training gym for a very long time. Told them about my situation. Hey, I'm just going to start a practice. I was treating people remotely at the time, just like literally two people a week type kind of thing. And she's like, hey, I might have a spot for you. Let me get back to you. So she gets back to me like a week later, said, hey, go talk to so-and-so. They have a room that they might be able to rent you in my gym. So go talk to so-and-so. He's like, yeah, like this room's vacant. Like, when do you want to start? I'm like, yesterday. So from there, I get what's called valley fever. And which is, I never heard of this situation. I guess getting pneumonia, crazy illness. I'm out for like 2 months now, basically dying. And so I didn't start for a few months after that to get going on my feet, but eventually did get the room, got the lease done. And this is the same room that we're in today with the both of us.
Wow. And so Molly, when did you join?
January last year. So it's been just a year that we've kind of been all our eggs in one basket, which is cool.
Let's go through this a little bit. Cause there are couples like you that meet in Cairo school and want to do it. And, you know, again, we can objectively, you guys have been wildly successful. I'll start with you, Molly. What is it? Because again, this is hard. Like your business partners and like romantic partners, and it's like one of them is hard enough. Give us some background into what you've found has been really challenging or what's been really great about it. Because I think that I preach against it so much because most people do it because it's convenient. And in reality, it should be the complete opposite. You should be like, you should have to convince me that it's an amazing idea for all of these reasons and not just because we happen to sleep in the same bed that we're going to open a business together. Because the answer is, and both of you, I would think, would agree, your relationship is more important than the business. Y'all can find jobs or work. Well, Max, you can't find a job, but theoretically, you can find a job. But you can own different practices. But the thing is, if the marriage fails, like, that's not that everything fails. So how's this been and what's been useful or what's been really challenging, Molly?
Good question. And we actually get asked this a lot. And I think that the good by far outweighs the challenges. The good is we have the ability to split tasks. So he is very good financially. He understands. He says he doesn't understand money, but I do not understand money. He understands financially what's happening with our practice and can relay that to me in a way that I understand it. He is also a different clinician than I am. So we treat very similarly, but if there is a case that I'm struggling with or vice versa, we get to have two brains or two sets of eyeballs looking at the same person, giving that perspective and running through clinical practice together. So we have that opportunity. And then we also get to practice our sales together. We get to nitpick each other, which I'm sure in some cases could lead to arguments with some people. But for us, it just helps us. I know that when he nitpicks me, he's being brutally honest about what I need to get better at. And he's not a jerk about it, but he tells me exactly what I need to hear in a way that I understand because we're able to communicate in that regard. Why are you laughing?
It's just funny hearing her talk about it because there's several times where I do not want to hear what she has to say to me, but it's what I need to hear, even though it's hard to hear. Yeah. And so like for me, the hardest thing is the balance, definitely the balance of like learning. And I don't know if it's ever going to be possible, but being able to separate the personal and the professional life. And so we're just trying to figure that out.
Have you guys done anything proactively to do that? Are you like, all right, at 7 o'clock, we no longer talk about business, or is it like, doesn't work that way?
Well, yeah, we've started to this year was a quote unquote resolution of ours because like we'd be laying in bed and still talking about it at like 9 o'clock at night. And we're like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And so we started putting parameters on 7 a.m. and 8 p.m. Before 7, it's CrossFit, training, life, whatever. And same thing with after 8 a.m. It's like, she's like, she'll mention something. I'm like, I don't want to hear it. Let's talk. We'll talk. Is it emergent, first of all? No.
Yeah.
We'll talk more.
Yeah. I love that. It's an interesting mix. And again, it happens more, but like I said, and I told you guys before, it's like, if you're going to have a partner, whether it's your spouse or not, you have to have different strengths. Cause again, if you're both good at the same thing, one of you is useless, right? One of you is useless. We preach this sort of with the org chart, but maybe Max, walk us through. Molly said you sort of handle finance. How do you guys think about like the task or roles or accountabilities in the business as a split between the two of you?
So Molly is heavy in the sales and marketing hat. We found that that's just a strength of hers. And so for me being on the more of the financial aspect of things, and I also love to treat people. Another thing we've learned since starting with you and everybody in the group, like she's the CEO. Mm. Like I'm not even arguing for that title. I don't want that title. That's her role. And so right now that's her title, even though we're distributing everything between the two of us. The other exciting thing is that we're also in the hiring process. And so we've started that as well. And so up to this point, like I said, we've split all the hats with how I just mentioned. And so moving forward, we're going to start delegating a little bit more, buying back her time, as your good friend Dan would say.
Yeah, I love that. No, I think it's funny you say about like the CEO role. And but again, we're a small business. So people hear this, like, they're like a small business. We think about this, but it probably is more important because there's only two of you. There's more than two things that need to get done in a business. And as you start bringing other people on, you know, I just did this with Kaylee and Ashton because my friend Kevin, I asked him going into the new year with Kaylee and Ashton, like, I want to make sure that they have clear accountabilities and roles and responsibilities. And for them, when we walked in and I sat down, I said, guys, we need to figure this out because today, the only thing that I'm sure of is that Kaylee, you're accountable for marketing and Ashton, you're accountable for sales. The rest of it, I don't know. Do you know? And they're like, no, we don't know either. So, and it comes down to little things of just creating efficiencies. So as an example, it's like, who's going to be in, if we run out of toilet paper, who am I coming to? And it's like, well, Kaylee, I'm in charge. DV folders, who can I go to? If we have a staff member that needs a day off, who are they going to? You know, and again, because it's like when we say that Molly's a CEO and she's going to deal with that, then we make sure that that we have some level of like the person coming in, whoever that is, the next person is understanding of like, this is how the business works. That if you have this issue, please talk to them because they're going to be able to help you with that. And if you have an issue with like a clinical question, you ask Max. Because again, like anything in life, if there's lack of clarity, it becomes messy, it becomes stressful, becomes anxious, and it's not perfect, right? And there's going to be always like, just because Molly's the head of marketing or director of marketing doesn't mean that Max doesn't do marketing. It just means that like we have one person that sits on top of that to understand it. And we're about to do this with, it might be interesting to think about. And once I get a hold of it, I'll obviously teach you guys. We at the coaching business, because we've grown so fast that so many things happen really quickly. And at this point, we don't actually need to hire anyone. But even if we did, he would ask me, who do you need? And I would say, I don't know, because I don't know what everyone does here. The thing is, like you guys, you're high-level people. My team are high-level people. Everyone just does everything, which is great, but it's also not great because you don't know who's doing what. And so the exercise that I'm doing with Hannah next week to organize it is, like, call it a functional org chart, is where we look at each section of the business in marketing. Like, what are all of the tasks that happen in marketing? And then who put a name next to each person? So we can lay it out and see, like, where is their redundancy? Are we clear on who's responsible for this? And going through, like, literally every single step of the process just to know what's happening. So even when you're small, and probably when you are small, even more importantly, to kind of lay that out and say, how do we look at this and see it? The next step of that, which is interesting, which you can do, is you look at all the names next to it. And then the next question is that person actually the best one to be doing that? And sometimes it's yes, and sometimes it's no, and we have reasons behind it. As an example, right now, Instagram strategy DMs, like in my business, who does that? It's like, well, Rachel does it sometimes. Justin does it sometimes, but Lauren's really in sales. Lauren should probably be doing it. But I get confused. It's like everyone sort of does a little bit of it. And it's like, how efficient is that? And where are we getting scattered? And where are we missing things in this business? Just because it's like everyone just pitches in. Again, it's great, but it's also confusing. And so, like, the organization level, and you guys, you know, at your revenue level, it's like, man, because these problems will just get worse. The more zeros you add to it, the more that happens. Max, at our VIP day, you said, I finally feel like we have a real business. And I told you that you already had a real business. But why did you say that?
Because I never thought of any of this for the first 2 years of practice.
Yeah.
You kind of got away with it.
Right.
And so, like, when we reflect on it, that's how I truly feel. I truly feel that we now have a real business, because beforehand we were just winging it. Like, I didn't go and think about marketing messages. I didn't think about sales. I thought about, like, I love treating golfers and hockey players. How can I treat more of them? That was my business model. And so, the more we learn, the more I realize we don't know. And so it definitely seems a lot harder now. For even just the reason you just mentioned of who's responsible for what role, like, now we need to figure that out, which, again, it takes work, effort. And because beforehand we're just naive to the whole process, we just kind of float around in the wind and kind of got away with it. And so now, yeah, with the structure of our business, everything feels like it's a lot more in line and in the same direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, I've just almost trained myself to every time I feel uncomfortable and overwhelmed in the business, I'm happy because I'm progressing. It's like I learned something new. I'm doing something new. And I've always said, and you heard me, I do this on the calls, and I mean it. The people that are in the group that are older than me, that have been doing it longer, that are putting themselves in a position to be a, you know, beginner, so to speak, I respect that so much. Like, I want, when I'm 45, 50, I want to go and, like, be uncomfortable again and figure it out, because there's always more to learn. And I think the thing for you guys and myself and the people in the group that is always true is, like you've heard me say, you know, you're doing amazing and there's so much more we can do. There's always another step. And I think even more than that, the mentality that I want everybody to have is there's always an answer. Like, I'm not stuck. I just haven't figured it out yet. There's always an answer. And the best business owners I know, it's like they look at every situation. Oh, we're not converting, or we can't get this lead, or no one's coming in, or this. It's like, no. It's like, we just haven't figured it out yet. Like, that person just didn't answer yet. We didn't get it yet. We might make it happen faster. We just didn't hire the right person yet. We didn't know what to look for. And it's always that, like, mentality of we can solve this problem. Every problem is solvable. Every problem is solvable. Molly, let me start with you. We talked about all the progress and good things that have happened. What's been the biggest challenge or struggle you've had?
The biggest challenge that I've had is, I guess for me, it's actually being extroverted and being out there. I am naturally a very introverted person. I love people. I love being around my patients. I love being around my loved ones. But naturally, I don't gravitate towards being uncomfortable. And I'm very routine based. Like, we always talk about how business is boring because it's very routine. I love routine, so I don't get bored. And it's really great. But the stuff that's extroverted, like going into a gym and meeting somebody, or sending them a message on Instagram, or sending out a follow-up call and saying, hey, how are you doing? Like, those are the very uncomfortable things for me. So those have been quite challenging. I think it's been kind of challenging for both of us. He's a bit more extroverted than I am, but it's getting the no's is what you need. And that's, I think, what's helped us continue to push through this, but it's still hard. And you just have to get through the mindset of it has to happen. And so that's kind of a lame answer. I'm sorry. But
No, it's not a lame answer, but I actually, respectfully, I think you're incorrect. I was looking at my bookshelf to see if I have the book. There's a book called Quiet. Have you ever heard of it? Mm-mm. So it's literally called Quiet, and it's about introverts, extroverts. And so I am beyond introverted. Like, I don't want to leave my house. Literally, like, you guys see on Instagram, this area in my basement, I'm building it so I don't have to leave. That's the point. Because I want to do nothing. I want to talk to nobody. Like, but when I have the things that I'm passionate about, I do. The thing that book, and it might be something interesting because I think it reframes the introvert versus extrovert, is the way they describe it in the most basic way of an introvert versus an extrovert, it's how you recharge. Right. It doesn't mean you don't like people if you're introverted. It doesn't mean you don't want to go out. It means that, like, at the end of a long day, would you rather sit on the couch and like listen to a podcast or watch TV or just hang out? Or would you rather go to the bar for happy hour? Like 11 times out of 10, I'm sitting on my couch. Right. Whereas like we all know people that they want to go out and they want to be like, that's what they want to do. And so basically the argument in this book actually is that if you think a lot of the best speakers in the world, a lot of the people like the leaders are actually by definition more introverted that by nature, they're way more introverted than you think. And like, I can tell you my mentor who is great on stage, he does these events with 400,000-600,000 people. I mean, you get him in a private, he barely speaks. Right. And so it's just, and he's always with his family. He doesn't like to go out and do all those things. So I think the idea of being introverted and extroverted is actually, I think it's different than a lot of us think it is. And we sort of convince ourselves that we're a thing when it's probably just, we heard it somewhere once. We're like, oh, that's me. And I think the thing for me, it's always about what do I required to do for the work that I'm doing? And so if it requires that I do that, whatever we want to call it, introvert, extroverted, like it's, you know, it is what it is. I think that for you or for all of us, it's that we generally want to put ourselves in a position where we do more things than not that gives us energy. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Now, I think some people make that leads them into like, oh, I'm only going to do what I like to do because I saw it in some business book. Like, it's like, it doesn't work that way. Like, we literally all have to do shit we hate. Like, that's part of the business and always, always, always. And so, like you said, it's like, I like people, I like to be around it, but might just be when I need to recharge, I want to be in the house. Max and I are just hanging out. Like, that's me, right? And so to me, it might be a little bit of almost like a definition, but I'd be interested. Just check that book out. I'm interested in what you think.
I wrote it down. Thanks.
Max, what has been your biggest struggle? I have one actually, but I'm curious what you say.
Not just treating people all the time.
Why? What do you mean?
I get stuck and I need to treat more people. Like, that's all I want to do is just go treat people and try and change their lives. Mm-hmm. But then what we've also learned over the last 3 years is if we don't do the things that get more people in the door, then the same problem just keeps happening where I don't get people to treat.
Yeah. So you have a passion for it and you like being in the treatment room. So it's like you just default to that when you get sort of nervous or stuck.
It's comfortable for me, right? I've been very fortunate to work with some super cool people. And it's basically just like me hanging out with them.
Yeah.
And also providing a good outcome.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, right? I get to change their life, help them go play better golf, help them play better hockey. And so for me, like that's where I'm most fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And you know, for you guys, because it's two of you, there you can have more of that, right? Because if Molly's going to take on that CEO role long term, Max, you can be the 30-hour clinician, and then most likely what it'll turn into, my guess, is that, you know, you're the clinic director type where you're training the other clinicians, and I guarantee you'll find a level of loving that because now you can take the thing that you're good at and help another person help others. So like for me, I get the biggest kick out of watching Kaylee and Ashton like treat patients, because yeah, there's only one of me, right? If I was in there by myself, I could only do it, what, 30 something times a week. But now the two of them can do it 60. And when they bring out another one, it's going to be now it's 90. And that now we can sort of expand our influence in that way. So it would be a lot more challenging, Max, if we didn't have Molly, because then it would be like a hard, like, shit, I got to do all this stuff. Max, I want to bring something up that you mentioned to me that I always think about. Of after you guys had like one or two good months, you messaged me and were like, I'm like not motivated anymore because I made more money in the last 2 months. And my take on that when you said that to me, because, and again, you could, I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, I don't know what to do. We made more money in the last like month than we made in the last four. And I'm like not motivated. And my take on that was, it wasn't that you weren't motivated, and I could be totally wrong because we never talked about it. But my take on that was that you had just for the last 2.5 years, you ran on survival. And it was just like, am I going to be able to eat? And that was like, you were just running on trying to stay alive. And the mindset of like, well, now I am going to eat and I am going to stay alive. And it's like, well, this is weird. Now what do I do? And now we've got to like almost regroup because we've become a different person. And I guess what I would say, like in my life too, like finances have changed. And my wife, we talk about it now and she's like, I don't understand. Like, well, I don't get it. Like, this is weird. Like, what are we going to do? I don't like this. I'm like, you don't like that we have more money? She's like, I don't know what I don't get it. Like, it's like, we're the same person. Like, we're the same person 12 months ago, 6 months ago, whatever, but things have changed. And it's like, you almost have to like learn how to become that new person and have a new mentality. And it happens at every level, right? You guys made 30 to 35 and you're going to be making 135 at some point probably. And it's going to be like, oh, like, well, this is different. Right. So, do you remember that message you sent me?
Yeah, vividly, because it's something I still think of every day. I don't have a great answer for it because that's one thing I'm trying to figure out ever since I graduated from Cairo school.
Yeah.
Was what I want to achieve. Well, yeah. Never money has always had to be something I've had to think about because I've never had it before. And so now that we do to some degree have a little bit more comfort, it's like, well, now I'm not uncomfortable. So I need to find something different to start chasing.
Yeah. So Ed, if you don't have a good answer, what are some of the thoughts that you've had? I mean, but you just mentioned how fulfilled you are treating patients. So is that part of it? Or is there other things maybe that you've thought of?
Well, it is. And I've asked a lot of people this because I'm trying to figure out what works for them. Like I started working with a sports psychologist so I can get her help on it. Because it literally causes me to lose sleep overnight that I'm wasting time in life not knowing what direction I want to move forward in, mm-hmm. what I want to achieve next. And so what I've been trying to figure out is my vision mm-hmm. for the long term of like what I want my life to look like. And for me, treating people is a big part of that.
Can I cut you off for a second? Actually, I mean, you played professional hockey, yes?
Not professional. I'd rather like concussions before that, but
high level hockey, competitive hockey. Yeah. So I interviewed JC last week. JC played pro soccer in Europe. And the thing I said to JC was that I played sports, college, whatever, but like not at a very high level. But when that was sort of gone, I was like, what the hell? Like, I don't know what to think about anymore. And I asked him that question and it was a very much like shit. Like, I don't know what my identity is. And that was always sort of the thing. Do you think some of it is in that? Like you were so there for so long that when that's kind of gone, that competitive, that it's challenging to find the next thing?
Oh, 100%. Like I know vividly I was depressed after hockey was done and I didn't know what that was at the time. Yeah. But like when it was taken away or when I chose to stop from my brain, that was another point in life where I had no direction for like a period of like 6 months. And that was terrible. And so then I went to school and then I had new direction again. I always had a goal I was chasing until college school was done. And then I met the next goal, which I made, which was to have her be able to leave her job and come to join me, which was pretty cool to feel. And then after that, it's like, okay, now we made money. Well, what's next?
Yeah. It's cool. Mally, what are your thoughts? What do you think? It's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it's cool. It's probably frustrating for him, but for me, it's cool to watch him figure out what he wants. Try not to get emotional, but it's just cool to watch him figure out who he is and where he wants to go with his life. So I adore him and I think he's an amazing human. So to see him lost is really hard. So I think that the steps he's taken have been really cool. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Sorry. So I'm just stoked for him to figure it out. And I don't even know if he ever will figure it out. I think there will always be something that he's chasing. Mm. And I think there will always be something that, hey, what's next? What's next? But that's also something I truly love about him is that he's always in that next level mindset. And that's something I just very much admire about him. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. I mean, I think what you said was probably true. There will, it is that what's next, but then, I think it's, I don't know. I've tried to find in my own life, I don't know if it's helpful, the idea that there's always a next thing that I'm chasing, but the thing that I'm doing is the most important part of it. It's like, whom, I guess the best way to say it is, who am I becoming along the way? Right. And it's like, I told Lauren, you can ask Lauren this, like a couple of years ago, the business was okay. We were growing. And I was like, I don't know what it looks like, but I just know there's going to be more. I didn't know. Like, I don't know that. You asked me, Max, that you like, did you think about, like, I don't, yeah, kind of, but like, I didn't know. I just sort of thought about like what was going to happen. And I knew there was going to be more for me, but I couldn't sit there and like write down that we were going to do an event and say, like, I don't know, but I just knew there was going to be more. And I knew that like the person I was going to become along the way, the people I was going to meet, that I was going to influence, like that was the thing that I always sort of held on to because, you know, I had this conversation, which might be part of the setting the plan, I think is good, but there's also a piece of it that's bullshit, right? I had to have this conversation with Kaylee when she first started. She just graduated Cairo school and she's, you know, she's on it, right? She's like, oh, this is my 5-year plan. I'm going to do it. I'm like, Kaylee, yo, slow down, dude. She's like, what do you mean? Just 5-year plan. I'm like, kids. I'm like, well, dude, I said, I go up in my practice in 2015, Kaylee. Do you know what happened on my 5-year plan? She's like, what? I said, COVID. She's like, oh. Like, so whatever that 5-year plan was completely out the window. It's irrelevant, right? And so if I lived in that world of like, this is the plan and I have to stick with it and blah, da, 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 I would have missed a lot of these opportunities along the way. And so, yeah, go ahead.
No, I totally agree with what you're saying. Because like one of the biggest lessons I've learned in life that's worked up to this point, whereas I always have direction, but I'm willing to be flexible along the way, as long as I'm moving towards something. And so I think that's one of the things that I've been most frustrated with was that it feels like I'm not moving towards anything. I'm just progressing. But at the same point, it's so crazy to think that when I think back on the last 3 years, that like we are successful. Mm-hmm. Like we're successful, which is really cool to say and feel and truly like reflect and think about, right? And so that's what we're trying to think of is, okay, now that we're here, what's next?
Yeah. But even that, if you really put it into perspective, like before any of this happened, y'all were successful. Because then the real question, if you want to go deep, is compared to who and what, right? Like compared to who. And sometimes I feel that way and people I don't think believe me, but at the end of the day, the life that I have today, or even 5 years ago, people would die around the world to live like that, right? Would die. And for you guys, for all of us in our group, listen, we are statistically, this is not like probably what, top 8% intelligence wise in the world. Like to get to the level that we got to, you can't be a moron, right? You have to have some level of intelligence. You have to have some level of stick-to-itiveness, some level of motivation, responsibility, which is more to say than most people in this world. And so when we start to look at like, oh, we're successful or not, it's like compared to what? Compared to 90% of the people in the world, we are wildly successful. And then from there, it's just everything else to me is gravy. And I think I've always sort of lived in that world. Go ahead, Max.
Well, you're bang on. Because I think for me, like the biggest frame shift was after I read The Gap and the Gain. Mm. And I've learned to measure backwards. And meaning I'm not always looking and moving the goalposts with what I don't have. It's like, hey, where did I come from? Which that's why this is crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, it's living in those two worlds and being at peace with it that I'm so grateful and appreciative of where we are and what I've done today. And again, there's so much more out there. And I think for me, it excites me. Like that's also why we kind of go into business because it's like, what else is out there?
how good can it get? What else can I explore? Where a lot of times, you know, in a job, it's stable, but you're like, you kind of know your path. You know, my friend that works at the state, it's like, he knows the path forward. Like, it's this. And to me, that's not very exciting. And so, like, it's like, we're doing amazing, but there's so much further to go. Before we wrap up, give the audience, for those people that are on the fence, that might feel violently ill, that are on the fence about doing ChiroBiz 101, and either one can take this. Why should they take the course?
It was easily the best financial investment we've ever made, first and foremost. And that's a really broad answer, but it was sickening at the time, but it paid itself off so quickly. And as a business owner, I feel like I've always craved being a business owner. And that's something I always knew that I wanted to do. But no one ever taught me the things that it entailed. I was like, okay, I'm just working, and that is business ownership. But this course truly shows you what it is to be a business owner, and like what hats you have to wear. Because before that, there's nothing out there, especially in school, that shows you what steps you need to take to be the business owner. You get to be a clinician, sure, but you don't get to be a business owner. And so I can't stop saying enough how much this was the best investment we've ever made. And we also just continue to learn more. So it's not just the same stuff over and over again. It's when you learn something new, you give it to us to then take to our business. And we're also in this group of however many people are in our mastermind group now that have either been where we're going or they want to be where we're at. So not only do we get to help other people answer the questions that they're going through, but then we get to look to people who have been where we are and ask them questions too. So there's less likelihood that we're going to feel nervous to do something or scared to do something, or we feel like we're doing it wrong because people have done it before us. So I cannot say, like I said, without a shadow of a doubt, do it. If you're even a bit thoughtful about it.
Love it. Max, anything? Or Molly summed it up well.
Yeah, it's been life-changing for us, is the best way I could put it. We like a year ago, if you thought where we'd be now, previous February, I thought you'd be lying if you said that where we at. And so if you're looking for more clarity, some guidance, a system, a framework, and the comfort that other people have already done this, that you're not doing something new, you're not paving the way, you're not going to Mars. I think that should help make the decision a lot easier.
I love that. Before we wrap up, I want to express gratitude to both of you guys. I think when you get into these worlds, right, you want to deliver a product to somebody and people. And when someone tells you how nervous they are, there's a level of, I do think I can help them, but I hope I'm right, because I don't want them to like feel. And I feel that level of pressure too, because I want you guys to be successful. As I've said in business, it's actually quite simple. The only way I'm successful is if you guys win, and you guys are winning at such a high level. I think it's easy to see and hear how you guys interact with each other, how you communicate, how you respect one another, each strengths and weaknesses, not weaknesses, but strengths and who's better at what. I think that's why you guys have been so successful. And I am super appreciative of all of the work you did before you found me, because it made me look a lot better, because we just needed to make a couple tweaks. And I think that, again, we're just getting, this is like a year. Imagine what 3, 5, 8 years of the right systems and processes over and over. And the life that you guys have already built for yourself and will build. Again, I'm happy to be a part of it, and I'm super grateful for both of you. So thank you so much for giving me a chance. And again, I need to come out and visit you in Arizona, because it's too damn cold here in New Jersey. Tell the audience where they could find you on social or get in touch with you guys.
Yeah, so we're heavily on Instagram at @PHX_fortitude. But if you look there first, shoot us a message if you have any questions, or if we can help answer anything. We're super open to helping give back and helping to answer any questions that we know.
Love it. All right, guys. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. This is awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep.
Before you go, listen, we are in live event season and I am going to tell you, you need to be at our live event. Please, please, please go into the show notes here, click on the link to apply for a guest pass. Someone on our team will get in touch with you. You need to be there. Please give yourself a chance. I'm begging you. If you really hate it, just come up after and tell me, kick me in the shins, do something crazy. I don't even care. It's never happened. There's literally never anyone that never left there who hasn't had an unbelievable experience. So I'm asking you, I'm cordially inviting you, go into the show notes, apply for a guest pass May 18th, 19th, any way you can get there, please. Can't wait to see you there.